This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Johnny Lupinacci,
how are you?
Yeah, hey, man. How are you, my friend?
I mean, I'm loving it. It's Tuesday. It's a big teaching day for me. So I'm at the, you know, at the school studio here, and you know, it's great.
Yeah. I see, you know, so anybody watching on the Facebook, the Twitter or the X and the YouTube, they can see Johnny. They're like, whoa, what's up with that background? However, you know, Johnny, you were saying before the show, you had a little bit of a technical difficulty.
Well, yeah, I was classic, like,
okay,
classic
when, teacher when you explain technical to it, difficulty. I want, tell the listener, yeah, tell the listener your technical difficulty. Well, and let's see if they agree.
I texted you, Tim. I said, I'm having a tech difficulty. Just to, because, you know, we work in so much technology here with the sound and the mic and all, you know, the interfaces and whatnot. And you know, that could mean anything, like my internet's not connecting right, or, you know, my Wi-Fi is down. No, my tech difficulty today is old school tech. I locked myself out of the studio. You know, I set everything up and then went to meet with the student and then came back. And the interns that work here in this studio had properly shut down and locked up like they should, you know, and then here were my keys on the teacher lanyard on the desk here.
So like, you know, a doctor to nice. Blame the interns. That's all I'll say. So
no,
like
I'm actually giving them so much credit because they did exactly like they should. They didn't change any of the settings or the setup here, but they locked up and left, you know, and that's perfect.
Well, and they're supposed to do that. Well, Johnny Lupinacci, I am so glad that the technical difficulty of the evening was solved. And there you are. Yeah, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Wow, right away, man. We haven't even started talking.
Right off the hop.
And right off, L.A. Tom is on the line. Man, he must have something important. Tom, coming in hot. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. I have a couple different things. One, when I was going to wait for a teacher, Joanna, and the other teacher for tomorrow, but when I was talking about last week about positive reinforcement for kids, I was talking
right.
about them actually doing their own reading of affirmations. Not that they were doing affirmations from other people. I would hope that would be general, but I'm talking about actually, you know, developing their minds in terms of saying those positive things to themselves, the positive self-talk, rather than the negative self-talk that has happened to so many of us throughout our whole lives. So I wanted to just kind of get that cleared up, because I think that may have been miscommunicated in the wrong way.
Or Tom, I think I read that wrong. I think you were, I mean, and I loved this suggestion because I was just emphasizing, I think that's what good teachers should be doing. But I love what you're bringing up and clarifying it, because I might have misconstrued it. You know, this is a great, like, us engaging young people in self-talk.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
This is fire, Tom. Go. So you are coming in hot from L.A.
Now, one other thing.
What's it?
One other thing I wanted to say, if I can, is that, you know, since they started privatizing a lot of the different things within the public school, just such as driver's ed, driver's ed was a great way. My sister and I, she's a teacher, we were talking about this last week, but driver's ed used to be part of the public education in terms of getting a hold of these people. Now that it's privatized, basically, that's voter suppression right there, because of the fact that when you had people in schools, you actually had all the kids in school. So therefore, when they're 18, you know, you already had their information in terms of being able to get them signed up for voting. And now, because they don't really have that list, it does, you know, correlate negatively in terms of voter.
I apologize. Tom's call just completely dropped.
Just dropped off. But I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he was on to something here.
He was on to something. You know, and I just, it made me think, though, and again, not to, but, so, you know, L.A. Tom talking about driver's ed in the early 80s, I remember a driver's ed class, and I remember our teacher, Mr. Kane. The best part about Mr. Kane is his first name was Joe, and we called him if you na 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 da 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 Joe Kane. If you wanna, that's that old, you know, Eric Clapton song. He didn't say Joe Kane. It was the other, the C-O word. Oh, yes, yes.
Well, but that song every I know.
There you go. Every time Mr. Kane would walk by and tell us, it was always great. He would say, and if you don't put on the brakes before the bridge out sign, little fishies. So there it was, Joe Kane and little fishies. That means nothing. But Tom, L.A. Tom, talking about those. Yeah, I see a lot of teachers ed as you are, drivers ed public or privatized, as you point out. The affirmations, Johnny, I have to say, I actually did hear what Tom said about that, of helping young students have that positive self-talk and affirmations. And what I heard you saying last week, though, was a comment about saying, and teachers helping them develop that and potentially modeling those positive affirmations. You can't go wrong with any of that, though, right?
Yeah,
there.
I mean,
teachers modeling positive affirmations so that the kids can see it, and then allowing those kids then to come back on and, you know, practice their own affirmations. Hey, that's what we want to do here. And here's what I want to affirm. You are listening to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Lots of different ways. You're either listening to the, you know, live in your car, you're listening somewhere on you're watching us on YouTube, you're watching us on Facebook, or you're on the Civic Media app. Because somewhere right now, that's the only way you could do it. But that's the best thing about the Civic Media app, Johnny. Doesn't matter where you are. If you have the ability to hit that Civic Media app, you can listen to Busted Pencils no matter where you're at. And yes, people always know, yes, way out there in that Nordic area that we always point to, they're listening out there. John, I'm just
you're obsessed with my colleagues in Finland, man. You love that they're
listening. Hey, I was just saying in the Nordic. Go ahead.
Anywhere you are. And also, we know a lot of folks who have communicated with us post the actual live show. You're getting this, you're grabbing this off, you know, different streams where you get your podcast, or you go into Civic Media and you're getting the podcast after. So thanks for listening. Thanks for all the interaction. We love it. And we joked about Tom coming in hot right off the hop, but he must be somewhere really warm because he sent a text, said, sorry, my phone melted down. So he came through on the board. He had the phone meltdown.
Man, when your phone melts down. So, well, you know,
speaking of being hot about things, Tom, I
see Johnny Lupinacci's hot.
Yeah, I got the sun on my back here. If you're on the YouTube, you can see it's a sunny day down here in the Palouse where I am. But Tim, I was fuming today with an article you sent me. I mean, I was steam like the caricature of fuming steam coming out of my ears. I was like, I can't believe more about this, and then I can't believe the hogwash that gets construed in this news article from a source we generally really like. And I'm not saying I'm mad that they're reporting it. They need to be reporting this, but boy, was I steaming. Tim, tell our listeners what I was just fuming about today.
Well, it's Tuesday, and we say trending education news, and I don't know what could be more trending coming out of K-12 Dive. Man. Again, not K-12 Dive. Here's the headline. Students to have, that's H-A-V-E, have lower lifetime earnings, graduation rates as a result of lower achievement or learning loss. It says here, economists, Johnny, estimate that the pandemic's impact on academic performance, that's learning loss, could result in a trillion hit to the nation's economy over the rest of the century. Yes, the slide, the learning loss, Johnny, $31 trillion less kids graduating, less kids making money. And not in how bad is it? For the century. So the 2 years of disrupted education during the pandemic is going to result in trillions, 31 trillions of lost dollars over the century. Dude, we have been playing down learning loss a little bit. I'm a little bit concerned now of going, were we wrong? My God.
No, this is one of those ultimate like boogeyman stories. This is like, hey, which I would tell you what's very real, that this generation of young people are facing a much harsher, cruel economy than previous generations have experienced in comparison. I'm not saying that it's like harder to be a young person in 2024 than it was in 1954. We're not comparing apples and oranges, but if we were to say equivalent wise, like adjust for inflations and everything, this generation is facing a much harsher economy. That in every way being tagged to what's happening in schools right now is absolutely, and fill in the blank, I can't even use the word on radio or on podcast. I'm just saying it is absolute,
malarkey.
Malarkey. It's muck. I sent you that on the, I said, this is muddy, Tim. This is infuriating me. This is just, let's get into it tonight. The muck that's raked here to try and just instill fear. It's a boogeyman story that says, guess what? This harsh economy is because of learning loss, and I'm putting this air quotes up again. It absolutely is not, and I've been going through this as much as I can today to just figure out where are they even getting this information from. It's bogus start to finish.
Let's break this down a little bit though, just because of that. And in fact, I was playing this out there. Hey, we are educated educators who are talking education. This article, though, comes from economists. I don't know if economists talk education, but for some reason, economists are typically cited. And Johnny, before we go in, and we're going to get this, I'm going to set this up nicely, though. The ability to make this determination, who knew? Eighth grade math scores. If you know eighth grade math scores, $31 trillion are going to be lost over the course of 100 years, 2 years learning loss. Man, economists, I don't know. Economists, educated educators, yeah, you'll hear what we have to say when we get back. For more. Hey. You got that fire, man. Warm yourself by the fire, son. 855-752-4842. It is fire. It's hot. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny, it's the news today. Here we are, man. It's the news. Students have lower lifetime earnings graduation rates as the result of learning loss during the pandemic. Yes, according to Eric Hanishek, an economist, we are about to see $31 trillion, that's T for a trillion dollars, lost. And how do we know this? Well, Eric Hanishek, the economist, spent a lot of time going through reams of he went through eighth grade math scores from the NAEP test and determined that by eighth grade NAEP scores that the students took in math during COVID, that their decline in eighth grade math scores, which were, as we've pointed out on the show many, many, many times, the declines during the pandemic didn't even go down below the increases that had occurred for the past 20 years before that decline. So the decline, there really wasn't then a decline if you look at it over a 20-year period. But math scores over a 2-year period by eighth graders, and the data is conclusive to this economist that for the next, for the rest of the century, lower graduation rates, you name it, earnings lost $31 trillion. And Johnny, you know what the solution is? Well, I'm not going to get there yet. I'm going to let you rip on this for a little bit. So did I set that enough?
First, you did. And let me just clarify some stuff for listeners and things, because we often talk about these high stakes tests and these test scores. And, you know, Tim, you brought up NAEP, you know, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, which pretty much gets looked at in fourth grade and in eighth grade. So we like the NAEP report comes out, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. So it's a federal kind of overview of where, like in general, where all the fourth graders are and all the eighth graders are. What's the average set? What's above average? And Tim, you alluded to this. So for listeners unfamiliar with this trend and why we're kind of, one of the reasons why we're kind of like calling hogwash on this waving our arms to sell snake oil around the gloom and doom that's happening, is because for years there's been a steady increase. So that means if you went to school, let's say you went to school in the 80s, and where you were, where we knew the National Assessment Educational Progress average was for, let's say, eighth grade math and literacy. These are the two areas. Little bonus point there. That's why if you're a parent and you're listening, why your kids are constantly being assessed in math and reading, why every elementary school is dominated with math, reading. Well, because in every grade in most states, that's what we're actually measuring and basing a whole lot of decisions off of. And I say we, I mean like people making educational decisions, not Tim and I, unfortunately.
The establishment, only. Right.
The establishment. But this idea is
that, you know, they haven't asked us, though, is what you're saying. I mean, but, you know, I see, you know, a little bit there, you know, but I want to keep going from the article here. Quote, the latest, and this goes back to what Johnny Lupinacci was saying there, the latest NAEP, that is the National Assessment of Educational Progress, released October of 2022, showed declines in math and reading at grades 4 and 8. The average math score for eighth graders, this is from Hanishek, again, this is the economist, Eric Hanishek, dipped 8 points. Now, quote from Hanishek, the learning losses are huge. Economic growth depends on the skills of your labor force. We're going to have a lower skilled workforce. We're going to have fewer inventions. Okay, Johnny. Fewer inventions, lower skilled workforce, because eighth graders' math scores dipped 8 points. Man, that is some amazing results from a test score data to be able to project the loss of inventions.
Well, first of all, probably I'm going to call this out. I'm guessing the person doing this research tested lower than these averages in eighth grade and fourth grade. And that's okay. I mean, this is a highly quote unquote, this is why this is an elitist argument here. Mm-hmm. Is this idea that somehow increase had to keep going and going, which was pushing more and more and more and more and more on fourth graders and eighth graders to measure where they're at. And so that increase happened to the point where, and I'm not picking on, although I do have beef with this person, I'm not questioning their intelligence or their success. I'm saying that they likely scored lower. The person writing this article likely had a lower score than the averages that we're counting right now in doom and gloom around. So it has nothing to do with that. Yes, there was a change in things during COVID. Like there was time lost in classrooms, but we're certainly this generation of students are not doomed, nor are they to be blamed for the economic conditions that the generation of the people doing this research and writing this article caused. So I'm pointing to the previous generations who are now pushing this on students. And they're saying, well, guess what? There's all this gloom and doom, and it's because they didn't learn during COVID, or because of the people teaching them didn't teach them enough during COVID. Hold on. No. We have bigger problems, and you're just diverting attention away from that and putting it on here conveniently to make excuses for why things are the way they are.
Well, here's what I, so My goodness, what a great analysis. The number, though, too, if you want to jump in, 855-752-4842. If you're an economist out there and you have an ability to substantiate Mr. Hanischuk's data and his not just his data, the data is substantiatable, if there's a word for you. But the reality here of going the analysis, the doom and gloom, lost inventions over the next 100 years. I don't know. I'll throw this in there. You know what? We don't have to worry about inventions over the next 100 years anyway, Johnny. Artificial intelligence is already fully at the invention capacity right now anyway.
So. Yeah, and I'm going to argue that more innovation, creativity, and divergent thinking emerges out of the COVID area than the compliance and the crap you need to be good at to do well on the NAEP. That's the national assessment. So there it is.
I want to out there. And I want to make sure that we absolutely hit that because, yeah, what actually happened during COVID is one of the things that we really want to talk about because we have now been hearing so much the sky fell. Not that the sky is falling, but the sky fell during COVID. Teachers are to be blamed. Students are to be blamed. Yeah, loss of inventions, loss of $31 trillion in earned income over the next hundred years, that is the rest of this century. Man, you know, you sit there and go, but the reality of going, look, economist, here's the deal. As an educator, I don't get into economic analysis because I try to stay in my lane of being an educated educator who talks education. Maybe when we get back, though, I'll try to do a little bit of talking economics because Johnny Lupinacci, that's what we do here. Busted Pencils, more when we get back. Sleep. Who needs sleep? It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Johnny, the sky is falling. Students to have lower lifetime earnings, graduation rates, less inventions, chickens without feathers, you name it. It is all headed this way. Because those fourth and eighth graders during COVID, they just didn't do so well on their math tests. And man,
well, now they're not testing through this charge. We should come back to this, Tim, because
we got to come back.
Coming out of my ears, and we got to call Jim.
Yeah,
Jim from Appleton. What's happening?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good evening.
As far as I remember, the last people that made any inventions worth calling inventions, I'm referring all the way back to Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, were college dropouts. And they didn't do all that hot in junior high school either.
Right.
Where is this guy coming up with this ridiculousness?
I mean, we're trying to figure that. Jim, it sounds like we agree. We're trying to figure out how these claims are being made that this next generation, because they are scoring lower than just a few years ago, not really that long ago. Like we're still talking about, there's a massive increase. Like kids are learning a lot and they're doing fine, but somehow we're doomed because there will be no new inventions and no new things, you know? So we're with you, Jim. I'm curious too. Where is this coming from other than as a major distraction to the cause of these?
It's a major distraction for sure, but at the same time, you know, I definitely want to get back into the what kids have learned and what they truly lost, but I just want to answer that question, Johnny. What this is coming from, and I have to, you know, this is part of the privatization, the anti-public school rhetoric that has been going on since A Nation at Risk. You know, go check out all of our back podcasts where we did the interview with James Harvey, one of the architects of A Nation at Risk, and he can lay this out and go like, the onslaught of criticism using test scores and then projecting doom and gloom, economic failure. This happens all the time. This is the playbook of those who want to go after public education. This scares people because you talk about less inventions. You know, my goodness, you know, somebody's sitting there going, well, who's going to create the next, you know, the next miracle drug so that when I watch TV commercials, I can realize that if I take that miracle drug, I also have a high risk of developing hives on the backside of my foot or potentially seeing, you know, different things in the mirrors, hallucinations, whatever it is. All of that, though, Johnny, it's an anti-public education rhetoric that has been around now since 1983, and it's working, though, too. And this is the sad part here, because while we're blowing this up and we want to continue to blow this up, the reality is that, and I made fun of this, but I'll be serious, this economist, Eric Hanischuk, has spent the last 30 years making a career out of taking test score data, turning it into doom and gloom. And more importantly, though, too, also then it gets used by both political parties, Democrats and Republicans, because I just want to remind people, last week's trending news where the Democratic Department of Education proposed, you know, oh my goodness, or actually the president during his State of the Union, the amount of money he's willing to invest in bringing math and reading scores up. This is this is also a way of sending lots of government money to corporations that will build math tests, that will build math tutoring, that will delegitimize the professionalism of all of our teachers out there working day in and day out to actually help kids learn. 855-752-4842. Learning, though, Johnny, let's talk about learning.
This whole idea of learning loss, right? You know, I just come back to it. This idea is like, what does this tell us? The scores went down. They did. Okay. The scores went down. And this report, even I'm trying to like help like make sense of this news article that comes out that's examining this trend. And you're talking about the economist who's saying, guess what? Because scores went down, we're doomed, which is absolutely just like a whole distraction around. It means like we're going to continue to make economic choices as a nation, as a country, you know, in favor of corporations and against, you know, the everyday working person. And we're going to blame, instead of like owning responsibility for a need in changed economy and a changed world, we're going to blame individuals. We're going to like shirk our responsibility as a nation. And we're going to blame individuals and say, well, you know what? You didn't learn enough in eighth grade, or you didn't learn enough in that gap that happened at that time. It's unfortunate, but because of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't learn enough. Now, here's what the other information, scores went down because COVID happened. I think we're all in agreement. And guess what it says? It says it points to that there were disruptions in learning. Absolutely correct. There were disruptions in things working the way they had been working and maintaining the status quo. Right. Our guest last night, Kevin Kumashiro, came on and he reminded us it's really important that we think openly about something different than maintaining the status quo. And this to me, this is true. The test scores went down. Something happened. Sure did. I mean, the whole world felt it. OK. And guess what? It interrupted learning. It interrupted the status quo. It didn't stop humans from experiencing the situation, making sense of it, and learning things. We've learned a whole lot during COVID. Did. All right. It just wasn't the status quo. It wasn't the stuff that's on the multiple choice test our eighth graders are now taking. And guess what? They're only doing a couple points lower. So we're freaking out and making, it's just an opportunity for people who are actually close to the reasons responsible for the changed economy.
Thank you.
For them to point and say, hey, it's those kids over there. Yeah. And if it's not those kids, because it's not popular to blame kids, but actually, unfortunately, it's very popular to blame children. But if we're not blaming the children, then we're blaming their teachers. And if we're not blaming their teachers, then we're blaming their schools. And in fact, all along, and I hate to sound like that person who's going to point to it, the big bad sort of capitalist growth idea that's been pitched and promised and is believed by all these economists like a false god, right? They believe in it religiously, has been proven to be absolute hogwash. It's not going to happen for these kids. It's not going to happen for most of us. It's not going to happen for these kids in this generation. So instead of blaming them, let's just point the fingers at, hey, guess what? The system of unlimited growth and opportunity for everyone isn't true. It's just for the few who profit at the expense and exploitation of others. And these articles, like you sent me today, Tim, they are news, unfortunately. But really what they are, they're the whining tantrums of people who are grasping on things being the way they've always been, benefiting them, right? So instead, what this is isn't learning loss. This is grieving the loss of things being the way they've always been and working out for a few at the cost of many. Hey, we got Joanne on the line, though. Whew, man, I'm fired up today, Tim. But let's
hear
from
are.
Joanne. Let's hear from Joanne. Joanne, what's happening?
Yeah, from an economic angle, we could consider that in this century, $1 trillion might buy a Big Mac or whatever by the end, you know, in a couple of decades or so. What I'm wondering, though, aren't we missing something here with the argument? Because if the loss of a teacher, a physical, face-to-face teacher, is so important, why aren't we valuing teachers more? I mean, this is proving what we're trying to say to people, that if we don't have these marvelous entities in people's lives, instead of online education and all that other doodad stuff, we could be missing the next Steve Jobs or the next Marie Curie or whatever. And that's even a stronger argument. I mean, just toss it back in their face. Yeah, we've got to take this magic called teaching and just exploit it for all it's worth. I mean, if it's going to, or even do some math in the other direction, you know, it might increase, you know, give us more teachers, smaller class sizes and all of that. We might even get you more GMP in the future.
Wow, Joanne, look at that, turning their argument right back at them using the Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, I know you want to jump. Go for it, man.
Well, no, I mean, I love Joanne bringing this up. This is another great point of, like, when you have a straw man argument, or when you have this sort of, like, this smoke and, you know, mirrors around, like, oh, the scores went down, let's blame something. You know, Joanne's very, very, like, point is absolutely the value that debunks this is, okay, great. So the test scores went down. What do we do? And the answers have not been, will we increase the things that have worked for, you know, so long, is, you know, more teaching, better opportunity, you know, smaller class sizes. The things we had a guest on, you know, Dr. Julian Vasquez, he said to us, hey, we have things that work that cost not a lot, but they have a great return on investment.
Return on investment.
And yet, Joanne points out the solutions that have historically been connected to these kinds of claims of learning loss are for schools and teachers to purchase more technology or more, you know, assessment prep materials, or take new, better, more accurate exams that cost money. Right. They're not invest in these high yield, high return things like smaller class sizes, more face-to-face teachers, recruitment of diverse people into the teaching profession. No, God forbid we did that kind of stuff. No. That would actually increase learning and opportunity. We're looking at, you know, how do we maximize profit at the expense of the majority?
And that's what we do, man. We break it down. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you're just joining us and you're like, what the heck are these guys raving about? Hey, look, man, Johnny Lupinacci particularly is hot, but the reality is that we've got a news article, learning loss. You've been listening to the show. We've been debunking learning loss now for the past 2 years, because now we're beyond COVID, but yet for some reason, COVID continues to be the reason why, and not COVID, but learning loss that occurred during COVID. So bad students, bad learning, bad experiences, bad teachers, bad schools, blah, 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 blah. $31 trillion over the next century, loss of inventions, loss of graduation, all of this because eighth grade math scores dipped a little bit during the time, Johnny. And I want to grab a hold of this, though, during a time where so much was lost, truly lost. People lost their family members. People lost their jobs. People lost their houses. They lost their lives. They lost. There was a ton of loss during COVID. Mm-hmm. And what happened during that pain and that grieving, there were lots of things learned. And, you know, we want to talk about that, particularly to say, because if we want to speculate on the effects of what was learned, not, you know, and the things that were lost and the things we learned through the things we lost, the reality of what's facing our future. First of all, anybody who's predicting the future, the next 70 years future off of eighth grade math test, my God, come on. If you're buying that argument, get with it here. Let's move in a little bit. But the reality of trying to imagine, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years, yet alone the next 70 years. But if we want to imagine the effect of what was lost and what was learned during a global pandemic, I'm going to bet that the kids, the people that experienced this, are going to, those who came through, are going to rally us in ways to make us better so that we don't go through the same type of losses that we experienced during COVID, the same kind of insanity that people went through in trying to just be safe, to take care of themselves, to take care of their neighbors. My neighbor, when I was during this, I had one neighbor, Johnny, talking about, you know, yelling at us because, you know, we actually believed that COVID was a real virus and it was transmissible by air and by breathing. So we wore a mask and we got yelled at by my neighbor. My other neighbor, though, awesome, always out there supportive. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we're talking about learning loss and the effects on the economy. $31 trillion, less inventions. Oh, no. But when we come back, though, Johnny, let's really hit what was learned and what we're about to gain. Busted Pencils, when we get back. You know it. Busted Pencils. Yeah, it's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking education. That's right. Educated educators talking education. Not economists talking education. Educators talking education. You know, Johnny, the projections from the economists, I'm going to now step in and I'm going to play an economist. I'm not really one. I'm an educator, but I want to dabble in a little economic predictions based on what I know.
Well, you teach economics.
I was a social studies. I know economics, right? I have a little bit of understanding being a social studies teacher, a little bit of understanding of economics. I want to suggest that maybe in the next 70 years that the economy will shift in ways that, well, you know, and again, without any truly humane thinking about how we maybe move this economy so that it takes care of more, or not just how about, forget about more. If we created an economy that took care of people first, let's imagine that, because I'm thinking that an economy that values the work that people do, that values the humanity, that values the connection, that values those people who put effort into making the world a better place. I see an economy emerging out of the pain and suffering and the real loss that occurred during COVID. I see the learning there, the economic gains are in a more humane area. And my position is this: we will not allow that type of discussion to even hear the light of, see the light of day, hear the light of day, see the light of day, because Johnny, as you said, what I'm saying goes against the status quo, interrupts the status quo. And really the argument about learning loss in eighth grade math, you pointed out very early in the show, serves one main purpose. And that is to remind people that things are changing and darn it, we want to get it back to the way it was. Preserve the status quo, preserve the status quo, preserve the status quo. The problem with the status quo, with this economy does not really care about the human suffering that it inflicts on people.
Absolutely. And the tell sign, Tim, is when you say, okay, wow, this is a thing. It happened. Test scores are lower. You're saying it's really bad for our economy. What do we do to fix it? And they say, well, I'll tell you what. It's going to take a really long time and it's going to cost you a lot of money to fix. But conveniently, we've got some programs that if you can afford or you can, you know, to scrounge whatever together or go into debt to pay for, we can make a lot of money off you believing you're behind right now and that it's irreversible and impossible to cure, which is all, I mean, all this is smoke and mirrors. I think the exciting thing to end on a positive note for me today, because I've been like full of hot air today, but I mean, on a real positive note, young people right now absolutely know this to be BS. Young people in mass, even the ones that are politely like being like, yeah, just keep making your noise and we're just not listening. We're just going to do otherwise. And there are plenty who are saying enough. No, that's not our fault. That's not our problem. And we're going to do differently. And we're going to be all right. And we're going to have a different world.
Well, you're talking about young people there. And I see a young person putting their headphone back on there.
What?
Producer Anya. Producer Anya. What, you know, Johnny has a lot of faith in you.
I don't know why. It's so confusing. But I completely agree with the sentiment that young people, and I won't speak for all young people, but I'm 25 and I'll say this, people older than me by let's say 5-10 years and people younger than me are, I mean, I can't imagine taking this article to them and them kind of caring, not in a we don't care way, but this statement, I mean, what is this number? We're going to say it again. How many trillion? 300? What is it?
31 trillion. 31.
I mean, it's just one of those numbers to me that you say, and it's like, look, we have a number on how many people died during COVID, and half of the people pushing this same thing don't care about that. We have numbers on what the world's going to look like in a couple decades based on global warming, and we don't care about that. Yeah. But the idea that, and they're talking about lost wages specifically in this, which I have to laugh at. If you're concerned about lost wage, don't participate in wage theft. Period.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't want trillions of dollars of wages going into the ether. Don't put them in the ether. Give them to me. Yeah. I'll do something with them. But really, I agree with you guys. And it was so hard to be a learner and it was so hard to be a teacher during COVID. And it really just coming out of it to these responses from folks that weren't in the fight. I'm sorry. The two-letter terminology you used for it, Johnny, that's as close as I can get to. And I don't want to press the censor button on myself. That would be embarrassing. Right, yeah. So I leave it to you too.
Well, there it is, though. But Anya, you know, the best thing, the sensor button is so close for you.
It's
you
so close. It's right here. I could do it whenever. There's also a button on here that just says panic. And I haven't had to use that yet. But if you guys panic,
I don't know.
It's here.
I thought at one point you hit the panic button and it connected to Johnny because he was in a panic tonight. A passion tonight, Johnny Lupinacci. You're passionate, man.
Yeah, well, this one ignited, like Anya said too, you know, it's just when we're presented with this and again and again from people not on the front lines of this, not impacted by it, but having some commentary on it, that they very clearly, like you said, they very clearly have made a career on portraying doom and gloom and blaming young people. Like, this is like, there are people like well into their mid-career right now who are blamed the same way this generation is being blamed. It's just like the trend is to blame youth. And if we're compassionate towards that youth, it's blame their teachers. So if you weren't in that, right? Here's the thing. All these people were at one point. You're successful because of their experiences in those spaces.
Right.
And they're being outperformed by the so-called learning loss generation.
Johnny, adversity, man. Guess what? Haven't we heard that adversity builds character and creates opportunity and lifts grit, man? We should be celebrating the pain and suffering that went through because it's going to yield so much. Oh, no, we're not. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. I got to say, though, Johnny, you know, here's the deal. 1983, A Nation at Risk came out. The end was projected. And guess what? Here we are, 2024. Sorry, just no evidence there. Busted pencils, educators amplified tomorrow. See you tomorrow.